Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. You know, this simple prayer that you'll find on many lips throughout the Gospels in the New Testament, you'll find that this prayer was developed from those first biblical occurrences and developed into a rich spiritual practice in the early Christian church. And it's been practiced by the Eastern Orthodox Church now for centuries. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. In fact, when the Apostle Paul in the Bible talks about praying constantly, many Orthodox believers would look to this Jesus prayer, as it's now called, and say, well, this is actually how you do it. Frederica Matthews Green is the author of many books on spirituality, particularly Orthodox spirituality, the latest of which is called The Jesus Prayer. I thought it might be time to just have a little investigation into this fascinating historic prayer, and Frederica, I think, would be the person to talk to about it. Frederica, welcome to Open House. Thanks for your time.
Yes, hello, Sheridan. Thank you for having me in your open house. It's wonderful to be at least visiting over the airwaves, Australia. I sure hope to get there one day and see the beauty of that country I've seen only in photographs.
Oh, you've never been?
No.
Because you've been to plenty of other parts of the world, haven't you?
Not all the way over there, though, and that'll just have to remain a goal. Yeah. I will hope to do that sometime.
One day. There is an interesting story behind how you, as a feminist in the 1960s, then an Episcopalian, then a charismatic Episcopalian, came to be writing a book on the Jesus Prayer.
Yes, it's quite a journey. I guess it's sort of two stages, like a two-stage rocket, I rejected the faith of my childhood. The Christianity I saw there didn't seem to be practiced at any depth, and became an agnostic and very contemptuous of Christianity. And I had a very dramatic conversion. I was 21. I was hitchhiking around Europe. I walked in a church in Dublin, and I had an overwhelming experience of the presence of Jesus Christ. It's not possible really to describe what that was like, but I could hear a voice inside, not with my ears, but in my heart. I don't know, that I don't have words for it, but this presence was saying, I am your life. And ever since that day, 36 years ago, I have never been able to doubt the reality of Jesus Christ, and his resurrection is obvious to me because he's still alive now. I feel very blessed in that I don't have to struggle with the doubts many people do, because I know he's there, and he still is there with me. So my first kind of plunge was in going from being a non-believer to being a Christian, and an experience not many people get to have. I mean, I recognize that's unusual. Many years later, looking for, my husband and I looking for a deeper and more profound and more ancient form of Christianity. Though we had been in the Episcopal, the Anglican Church, he was a priest, we'd been working in that church for 15 years, we ended up coming over to the Eastern Orthodox Church. Very different.
Indeed.
Almost cultural expectations. A different view of what the whole purpose of Christianity is. That a very lively belief that Christ is with us now, and that he dwells in us, and the Holy Spirit is in us, and that minute by minute we can be transformed into his image and into his likeness. So it's a very lively kind of a church for those who practice it, you know. I mean, people go to church for all different reasons, of course, but for those who get into it, they find it's a very challenging and stimulating and brisk and dynamic kind of a church. One of the parts of it, we have the sacraments and the scriptures and everything else, but this Jesus prayer that I'm gradually looping around to is a very important, a very significant spiritual discipline among all the other resources of the Eastern Christian Church.
Yeah, just give us the history then of the Jesus Prayer. It has been, you know, prayed for centuries.
Yes, a millennia. I think maybe by the second century, we begin to see monks, especially the desert fathers, you know, going out into the deserts of Palestine and Egypt and trying to dedicate themselves completely to prayer. As early as that, we begin to see people practicing repetitive prayer. And I guess there are many religions on earth that cultivate this idea that you say the name of God over and over, or you say a phrase or something over and over. And the the point of that, I think, is a very practical point, that you can want to remain in the presence of God and communing with God, but you run out of things to say. You can't just go on saying one sentence after another. But just to remain with him, just as if you were with somebody that you love and you want to just hold hands and be silent, in order to remain in the presence of our Lord. To take a short phrase from Scripture and in a relaxed way, just keep repeating it in the back of your mind. And it keeps that connection. Your mind is not as likely to get distracted off by other things. You can stay focused on him. But you don't have to be thinking up new ideas to talk about. Mm. So it kind of keeps the needle in the track. Mm-hmm. That's the practical purpose of the Jesus Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll have to spiral back to that issue of repetition in just a second, because some will have some concerns about that, but we'll get to
That's
that in
true.
Just a second.
Yeah.
Open House is what you're listening to, and we're talking about the Jesus Prayer with Frederica Matthews-Green. She's written a book by that very title, The Jesus Prayer. It's simply, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. It's found in the New Testament on many beggars who are asking for mercy from Jesus. It's found on that despised tax collector who ends up praying at the prayer wall and basically comes away as being approved by God because he was humble and he was actually praying something along those lines. Frederica, let's break the prayer down, because as we break it down, I think we get a little bit of an understanding as to its significance. Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this assumes, if you're going to pray this with the heart, this is a prayer for the one who actually says, okay, Jesus, you are Lord, you are boss, you're director of my life. You've got to start there, haven't you? If we kind of bypass that and say, oh, this is a magical phrase we just, you know, incantate over and over again, we've completely missed the point.
Yes, I think that's so. And I do run into people sometime who are spiritual tourists, and they want to take a little bit from this religion, a little bit from that one, and they think, well, the Jesus Prayer sounds lovely, and it sounds spiritual, and can I use it? And that's one of the points I want to make, is that it does begin, Lord. If you're not ready to call him Lord, then why do you want to say this prayer? Mm. The spiritual realm is real. And it's a good place to be sincere and not to practice any evasion or insincerity or symbolic speech. Really mean what you're saying. If you're ready to say, Lord Jesus, that Jesus the Christ is your Lord, then maybe you're ready to start saying this prayer.
Mm.
And likewise, Lord Jesus Christ, you know, now you're not saying only he is my Lord, but the Christ. Christ means Messiah. It's just the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah. Mm. So to say Jesus Christ, you're saying that Jesus was the Messiah of Israel, that he does not need to be awaited anymore. He came. He came to earth, and he lived and died and rose again. Well, those are, again, they're quite specific things to say. And if you don't believe that, then why do you want to say this prayer? You know, I never want to draw the line and say, don't say the prayer, because if you want to, maybe God is doing something in your heart. Sometimes the heart goes first and the head comes later. but I wouldn't want anybody to take these words lightly. You know, you need to recognize that these are significant statements.
Yes, it's also,
and you're committing yourself in a way.
Yes, and it also works against narcissism too. I mean, straight away, we're actually not, it's not about me. We'll get to the me bit in a second, but, you know, straight away, we're actually looking outside of ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And isn't that so clarifying? And it just, if you can look outside of yourself, it rebalances your world for you. You know, it makes things feel fresh and real again, because we are so often just trapped in our heads.
Yes. Lord Jesus Christ, second bit, have mercy on me. Take us on.
I think this is maybe a little harder to understand, because you think, well, if God loves me, why do I have to be asking for mercy all the time?
Mm.
I know when I first became an Orthodox Christian, we say, Lord, have mercy, Kyrie eleison, very frequently in our services, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because, you know, I'm a daughter of the King, and, you know, I don't have to grovel, and I gradually came to understand that we're asking for mercy not because God is not going to have mercy on us. We don't have to remind him. Mercy is his character. The Lord is always flowing out his love and his healing and his help and support to us. Mercy is compassion. I think we, in our English language, we think the judge had mercy on the condemned criminal. We think of it as he lets us off the hook.
Mm.
But really, in the Hebrew and the Greek, it means love. It doesn't have that kind of legal meaning that we might have in our English language.
Mm.
We have to ask God for mercy because we keep forgetting that we need it, because we fall into illusions of self-sufficiency. We think we have things all figured out. We think that we're nice people, and it's good for us to recognize where we fall short and to ask for help, to ask our Father, who loves us so much, to reach out with this loving heart and with this compassion, and to heal us where there is brokenness, and to complete us where anything is lacking. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me.
Mm.
In the Greek language, a very lovely kind of poetic resonance between eleison, have mercy, and eleion, which is olive oil, which you probably think is salad, for the ancient world, the olive oil was where you got light. You would put a wick in olive oil. It was light. It was food. It was nourishment. It was healing. You know, you would heal a wound by pouring in oil, you know, in the story of the Good Samaritan.
Yes.
Oil had a lot of life-giving meaning to it. And that's what God's mercy is to us, a gift of healing, a gift of love.
Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Then the third bit is a sinner. Now, this is a profoundly humble prayer, isn't it?
It is. And that can really make you squirm. A nice thing, there's a little flexibility about the Jesus prayer. Some people say a sinner, some don't. Some people say Son of God in the middle, and some don't. The addition of a sinner is actually not as ancient. The prayer we first find, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, about the year 500. To add a sinner is maybe only 300 or 400 years old.
Mm.
But it really brings it home for me. It's, you can see why that addition would really spread around the world and be something that people felt right about adding.
Yes.
I guess this is the great mystery of Christianity, is that Christ kept telling people to repent. And we modern-day Christians, we're often saying, we're trying to sell Jesus on the basis of Jesus likes you, Jesus thinks you're great, he just wants to make you happier, you know, he just wants to fix your job and fix your marriage and make everything great in your life. But Jesus kept saying, repent. There is a more profound brokenness in human reality than we usually acknowledge.
Mm.
And being able to say a sinner just means I know that I am not in sync with the rhythm of the world, with the rhythm of the universe, the way you want it to be. I know that every day the things I do and say are like contributing to air pollution. We just damage the world, creation, and each other a little bit more every day. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I acknowledge where I fall short. Have mercy on me. Heal me. Help me to do better.
Mm.
Help me to do better tomorrow.
Frederica Matthews Green is the author of numerous books on Orthodox spirituality. We're talking about The Jesus Prayer, which is the name of her book on The Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. I want to get to how you personally practice the Jesus Prayer in just a second, but just what effects does the Jesus Prayer have? Now, even that phrase, I wince at a little bit because I hate this idea that it's a magical incantation. We pray it over and over again, you know, it'll have these magical effects. No, this is a prayer focused on Jesus saying, please do this. But it is a particular kind of prayer. As you've been, you know, praying the prayer for a number of years now, what effects have you found it having in your spiritual life?
I have found that it has had effects not only when I'm praying it, but all through the day. I think that gradually, you know, if you set aside time every day to practice it, it leaks. It starts to leak into all the rest of your life. And an attitude of going through life, looking to Jesus, asking him for mercy and for help, your heart starts to change. You become more loving and more patient and more humble. You become more accepting of the surprises that everyday life hands you because you see, oh, God is doing it this way for a reason. Let me pay attention. Let me see how I can cooperate with what God is doing here. I've found that it is, like putting a piano in tune. I've found the prayer has been tuning me, tuning my perception, my personality, weaning me from some of the more, sticky sins that are so hard to, the sin that clings so closely, as it says in Hebrews.
Mm.
I've seen so many changes. During the prayer, you know, when you sit and actually do the prayer, of course it has the effects you'd expect of contributing a sense of peace and tranquility, and fear flees away and you feel closer to God, and that's always good. Maybe the unexpected thing is how it affects the rest of your life when you're not consciously praying the prayer.
Mm-hmm. So describe how you pray it, Frederica. What do you do? I know that you get up at 2:30 in the morning or something to pray it. I think that bit's that's optional for the rest of us, I think we have to say.
That's true.
I hope so.
That's true. Yes, yeah. I guess the standard advice is to set aside some time every day for maybe 10 minutes, 15, maybe 5 if that's all you've got, and do nothing except say the prayer. And as you say, and this is unusual, I do get up in the middle of the night. I don't set an alarm. I just wake up. And I've been doing that since I was pregnant with my daughter, and she's 33. So it's just a habit that I formed a long time ago. And it's great because there's a kind of silence in the middle of the night. You get no other time.
Indeed.
But I think even if I was just doing it, at sunset or first thing in the morning or over lunch hour, it would be the same effect. This is a prayer that traditionally you don't kneel down, you sit. And as you sit and you close your eyes, you just begin repeating this in your mind. And if possible, in your heart. There's actually a lot of writing about how the prayer begins first just going around your head. But gradually it sort of sinks deeper and deeper until it's located in that place inside your chest where you just feel yearning when you think about something that you care deeply about or someone that you love. It seems like the prayer is being spoken within the heart instead of in the head. And the more it does, the more it saturates your entire being. So to just find some time every day for 10 minutes or so and repeat, maybe that would be about 100 repetitions of the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do anything else. Your mind is going to wander. You know, don't get upset. Just bring it back. Keep bringing it back. Many of us use what's called a prayer rope, which is a little loop of yarn with knots in it, maybe 100 knots. And so if you can sit down and just go through your 100 knots, if your mind wanders, back up a few. Go back 5 knots. Start in again.
Mm-hmm.
Getting upset at yourself for the mind wandering will make things worse. So have mercy on yourself. Your mind is going to wander. Practice does make it a lot easier.
Yeah, okay. All right, now this is probably a good time to raise some of the concerns that some people might be having as they're listening now, is that, well, you know, you're repeating just a phrase over and over and over again. We've already talked about the fact that this isn't any magical incantation. You know, it's not a magical thing. You're focused. It's a prayer. You're specifically asking Jesus to give you mercy because you're a sinner. And yet, you know, Jesus himself did warn against mindless repetition, you know, endless words in prayer, you know. Just touch on that.
Yes, and there's some of the writers on this prayer, the Orthodox writers, will say, don't say it if you don't mean it. Don't say it mindlessly. Mean it. Be speaking to Jesus. As you say, it's not an incantation. They're not magic words. It's a conversation. And eventually you begin to sense him coming back to you. You sense the response. And then it just gets better and better. But that's, another example I like to use is the husband and wife, just newlyweds on their honeymoon. And he keeps saying, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
The wife is not going to say, oh, I heard you the first time. You know, she doesn't mind hearing repetition of words of love, of sincere words of love.
Mm.
And it's so similar because you run out of words. Words fail. You know, words fail us. And if you're trying to express to the Lord your loving dependence on him, your hunger for his presence, and that you need everything, you get nothing except through the Lord, you're going to run out of words, but this one little phrase, you can just keep saying it, like saying, I love you, I love you. So it won't be mindless. It won't be vain. I guess it's the King James Version talks about vain repetition.
Mm.
No prayer is in vain unless you don't mean it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You need to mean it when you pray it, but
yeah.
Just repeating. You know, there are a lot of things that we repeat many times in our lives.
Yes.
Because words run out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess that probably leads on to the next question I had to you with regards to, you know, why would God respond more to one sentence repeated than, say, to others? Or indeed, you know, just simply saying, well, yeah, I do need your mercy over and over again all the time. And, you know, using a variety of words.
Yes, yeah, I see what you mean. I have to chuckle because if you ever go to an Orthodox church service, you know, on a Sunday morning, starts in my church, 8 o'clock in the morning, we're finished about 11:30, there's a lot of words. There's so much scripture quoted, reams of the Psalms, and beautiful, elaborate prayers. So there is definitely a place for that. But there are also times I think you run out of words. And When the early church looked at the words of St. Paul saying we should pray constantly, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving, that's Colossians, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, in 1 Thessalonians, how do you pray constantly when you're not in church and when you're working or walking or whatever? Pretty quickly, the early Christians discovered, well, you need a phrase that you can repeat. And in fact, it was for a couple of hundred years, it was everybody pick whatever phrase you like. Pick a phrase out of the scripture, anything that you really love, and just work that into your memory so that it's automatic and you don't have to think about it. And it's always there. It's just going on all the time like background music. There was a great multiplicity, a diversity of different short prayers people were using. About 500, the Jesus Prayer form appears, and gradually it just took over. It was like everybody agreed, oh, this is the best. You know, this has everything in it. And so the Jesus Prayer came to dominate. But there's no reason that you couldn't pick a different phrase from Scripture or a different prayer that's close to your heart. And for some people, this is not a practice that is ever going to seem right for them. Nobody's required to say it, but for many people it is helpful.
Yes. When do you think praying the Jesus Prayer is most valuable or most needed?
I think we need it the most when we're feeling upset. That it is when we start to get frightened or angry or distressed or we're craving something and feeling greedy and we don't have it. When your emotions start to get charged up, and roiling around, I think that's when the Jesus Prayer really becomes helpful, because it puts you back in the heavenly perspective. It puts you back in seeing the world from God's perspective and from His abundance. And you are able then to receive insults without getting angry. Mm. And you're able to not have the last donut, you know, in the kitchen at work. And, you know, you're able to do things otherwise you wouldn't, because of the tranquility that comes not from the prayer, but from standing in the presence of God.
Yes.
It just puts your perspective back correctly. It readjusts your perspective and to real life. You know, it's not this imaginary spiritual thing. It is real life when we see things from God's point of view.
Mm. You quote in the book about the desert fathers and mothers talking about combating a thought with a thought. And I'd imagine that, you know, when you're most tempted to do something, as you just kind of touched on there, that would be a good time to pray the Jesus Prayer. You know, when you're most tempted to lust or to whatever it might be, to sweep your attention away from whatever it is that's before you.
Changing the channel. Uh-huh.
Yeah, changing the channel.
Like changing to a different TV channel.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not always easy, and those thoughts can be very sticky, but we find in Eastern Orthodox spirituality that so much of what goes wrong in our lives does begin with a thought. And as you gradually begin to get control over your behavior and then over your emotions, then finally you're kind of getting down where you're seeing, oh, those are the thoughts that cause all the trouble.
Mm.
And the Jesus Prayer is a great thing to turn to. You start to be able to recognize the thoughts, the troublesome thoughts, the lying thoughts, the self-hating thoughts. You start to be able to recognize them when they show up and slam the door and go back to the Jesus Prayer.
Mm. Well, you've already touched on a few kind of practical elements. I want to leave folks with some guidelines on how to pray the Jesus Prayer. You've already touched on a few. It's traditionally prayed sitting down, although I guess you could, you know, maybe do it standing up or something else. You do it in the middle of the night. You could do it at other times of the day as well. You start small. You're talking about 5 minutes, maybe expand to 10 or whatever it might be. Any other guidelines you have for praying the Jesus Prayer?
Yes, I think one of the things I sometimes fail to say is that I focus on the time that you practice the prayer, that you sit down and dedicated time. But the point of the Jesus Prayer is to not get really good at saying it for 5 minutes a day. The point is to let it flow through your whole life, so it's going on all the time in the back of your mind. Mm. You're not only saying it when you're sitting down doing your determined practice, but you're saying it when you're driving and when you're at the checkout counter in a grocery store when you're leaving. It becomes something that is uniting all your day. So I always want to clarify that it's not that you become really adept at this mystical practice. That would be a mistaken way of looking at it. That the goal is to have the name of Jesus infiltrating your entire life, every conversation, every person you talk to, everything that you meet in life, from now until the end, that the name of Jesus will be on your lips and in your mind, so that even if you have to meet very distressing or painful or difficult or frightening things, until that last moment, with that last breath, when you step through the veil and you see your Lord face to face, his name will have been beating in your heart forever, all these years in between.
That's a beautiful way to end. So, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. I guess we could say tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us.
That's right.
Lovely to talk to you, Frederica. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah, Frederica Matthews Green is the courier, it's a word for spiritual mother, of the Holy Cross Orthodox Church in Baltimore, Maryland, in the US, and author of a number of books on spirituality, particularly Orthodox spirituality. This one we've been talking about tonight, called The Jesus Prayer.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast, thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.